I'm Brandi Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, the Department of Justice sues four states, including Washington, for refusing to provide some federal agents with undercover license plates. Plus, the extremist group No Hate in Washington State is holding fundraisers with moderate Democrats. And the Seattle Police Department finally releases images of the man suspected of attacking an individual at random with a hammer in downtown Seattle. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month by signing up at UndividedPod.com, UndividedPOD.com. Click on the banner that says support the show. Hello, hello, friends, and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving Common Sense a comeback. I'm Brandi Cruz. We'll get to our top story in a moment. First, a thank you and some housekeeping. May has been the best month Undivided has had since I launched it out of the spare bedroom of my house all by myself 5 years ago. I think part of that is probably the nice discount we offered, but I think a lot of it is people who recognize some of the pushback that we're getting from the party in power in Washington State, some of the lawfare that's directed our way, and finally decided after all this time that they want to support the show. And we are so grateful for that. And so it really was overwhelming. I mean, we added more new subscriptions in a month than we typically do in a year. So I want to thank you for the support and thank you to the people who have been subscribers since the beginning. I mean, it's just the amount of kindness that we have gotten from you has just been fantastic. And let me also write a little thank you note to our friends at No Hate in Washington State, because your vitriol toward me has only made us stronger. And I appreciate that. The other little bit of housekeeping, how do I reward you with becoming paid subscribers? I take Monday and Tuesday off the show. We will not have a live show next Monday and Tuesday because we're going to Idaho for the weekend and into next week. I do have an event I'm speaking at, but we are going to do a series of reports talking to business owners and families that have fled Washington State as political refugees. We're meeting with a bunch of people, and so we have a lot of shoots to do, and there'll be a series coming out in a couple weeks on that as Washington State contends with this real exodus of wealth. And I think I'll do, though, since I'm gone, some dispatches from Idaho. You know, maybe at a gas pump. Whatever it is, whatever I can't do in Washington, well, you can pump gas in Washington just for more money. So we'll do some stuff while we're there, but I want to let you know, so don't expect us to be here Monday and Tuesday. All right, the federal government making good on its threat to sue the state of Washington and several other states for refusing to provide federal agents with undercover license plates for criminal investigations. So you'll remember that Attorney General Nick Brown was sent a letter on May 12th from the Department of Justice, and it basically just said, hey, man, can you reason with us here? Can we just be reasonable people? We're trying to fight crime. I know you hate ICE. I know you hate Donald Trump, but not giving out undercover license plates in your state to federal agents hampers investigations into things like drug trafficking, human trafficking, child predators, all sorts of things. So they just said, hey, can you just change this practice and we can go about our lives? The state of Washington refused to do so. And so they were hit with a federal lawsuit in the Eastern District of Washington this morning. Not only Washington, but Maine, Oregon, and Massachusetts, all for similar policies that they have in place. And, you know, it's interesting because the states all vary a little bit. But this change is fairly recent for some of these blue states. And it has to do with them hating immigration efforts that are happening under Donald Trump. But the Department of Justice, in its lawsuit, argues that this has gone well beyond routine immigration enforcement and is also impacting very serious criminal investigations. The press release from the DOJ says not only are these policies unconstitutional, but as alleged in the complaint, these policies threaten the operational effectiveness and safety of federal agents who have faced a wave of targeted harassment. If federal agents cannot use confidential plates, dangerous individuals can track and evade law enforcement. There is no justification for states to deny confidential license plates to federal agents. Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche said that the Department of Justice will exercise any and all lawful authorities to support the brave men and women of law enforcement. Law enforcement officers risk their lives every day to keep Americans safe and must be able to carry out their duties effectively. And they say that this denial from states like Washington does not allow them to carry out their duties across the board effectively. So in Washington State, you know, although there was sort of some choices here from the Department of Justice, because the policies of Washington State impact the whole state, but they didn't file the lawsuit in the Western District of Washington, probably because they thought maybe you won't get as advantageous of a judge or even a fair judge in the Western District of Washington, which is in Seattle. So they filed it in the Eastern District of Washington. And the U.S. attorney, although they can't really call him that, he's like the first assistant United States attorney, you know, because the Senate, like the Democrats, blocked him. So now he's the first assistant United States attorney, Pete Serrano. He is going to be helping to head up this case. He was nice enough to join us to talk about not only the impact that not giving these federal agents license plates has, but also sort of their legal argument that they're making in this case. Pete Serrano, welcome back to Undivided.
Hey, it's great. Sorry it's been so long.
Yeah, but you know, you've been busy out there. So I know that a couple weeks ago, the Department of Justice sent Attorney General Nick Brown a letter telling him to cease this practice of denying these plates. Did he respond?
He did respond, and it was pretty much as expected. Hey, we're not violating any constitutional principles. The state has every inch of authority that it's taking. And so basically, if you want to deal with this, go ahead and sue.
So, and correct me if I'm off base, but the state will issue undercover license plates to state police, to local police, just not to the feds.
Yeah, you know, and even in some cases, and granted, prior to recent history, meaning the past 2 years, this was a common practice that the feds were getting these license plates. So it's a new practice that the state's adopted to not issue these plates to federal law enforcement agencies. And some of our agents still have them, obviously, because their stickers, their tabs are still good. But as they're waning out and they're expiring, there's an opportunity to deny these new requests, or if new vehicles are purchased, whatever the case may be. So it's really a new practice to deny these requests.
So when Attorney General Nick Brown was the U.S. attorney in the Western District of Washington, was the state of Washington allowing federal agents to use undercover plates for the investigations that Nick Brown's office would handle?
As far as I know, the answer to that is yes. Again, because it's a really recent practice.
So is this for all federal agents, regardless of their FBI, whatever it is, or is it just federal agents that fall under the purview of the Department of Homeland Security?
As far as we understand from the folks we talked to that are our partners, it is impacting all agencies. Again, HSI obviously is the primary target, but it is having a flow down effect throughout various agencies in the state of Washington.
So, and
it doesn't matter where they're located, you know, which is why the suit was filed on my side of the state, as opposed to where Neil is over in Seattle. It's a flow down effect throughout the entire state. So it could happen in Kennewick, it could happen in, you know, Seattle, it could happen, you know, pick your place, it's happening.
So what is the practical effect for agents investigating crimes of not being able to have these plates?
Yeah, I appreciate that question, because I was scrolling through your post and there were a handful of comments and folks like, just get an out-of-state license plate, just, you know, let them expire. The problem is when you're surveilling someone, you know, sometimes multiple days on end or with intermittent breaks, you wouldn't notice if a car from Montana, Idaho, California, pick whatever state that's not Washington, or it had expired tabs. You might even call the police and say, hey, some weirdo is sitting in a car outside of my house, or, you know, and they're surveilling your neighbor because you and I are good people. You know, some weirdo sitting outside of my house with expired tabs or from Montana. That's the practical implication. It's not necessarily that they're going to pull up, have a bust in Montana plates. Obviously, that has its own concern. But imagine if you're setting up a meet for someone who's soliciting a minor, purchasing drugs, purchasing firearms illegally, all those crazy things that, you know, federal law enforcement does to keep our streets safe. And if you're sitting outside of a hotel and someone's, you know, keen on this, they're looking to see what their surroundings are as they're about to conduct illegal activity. And so if a bunch of Montana plates are sitting out there, they might say, gee, this is odd. I'm going to go ahead and veer off and not, you know, make my purchase. And so that's the real practical implication, is that all intel could be curtailed.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane to me. And you see this happening in so many different kind of arenas, right? Like we have the new mayor of the city of Seattle who won't turn on the police cameras down by the stadiums ahead of the World Cup over concerns about ICE. And it's like, wait, we're worried about terrorism, right? And so you have all these serious crimes that the feds are investigating. Why don't they just limit it to, and I'm not saying I agree with this, but do you know why they won't maybe just limit it to Immigration and Customs Enforcement or HSI?
I mean, I think even if they did that, there's still a practical effect that HSI doesn't just do civil immigration, right?
Right.
You know, they were part of one of our largest drug busts in the Eastern District. They were part of a huge sex and child trafficking ring bust. I mean, so what they do is not just pick up civil detainers. Right. These are people who are doing, not that that's not legitimate, you know, criminal activity, because those people typically are here illegally. But, you know, they're conducting other hard and fast criminal removals. And so when you have folks like that, you can't just say, oh, well, you know, Joe's an agent that does civil work, so he gets the non-tab vehicle, right? That just, there's no practical way to implement that.
Yeah, and I've been with HSI when they picked up a convicted child sex predator. So it's like, it just bothers me that they've allowed their, I'm going to give it my opinion, their dislike for Donald Trump to hinder serious criminal investigations. Really quickly to end, Pete, what is your legal argument? What legal basis do you have to sue the state of Washington over this?
Yeah, ultimately, the fight here is under what's called the Supremacy Clause of the United States Constitution, which is that the United States has supreme rule of law, and that rule of law backs us when we're conducting our, you know, designated, congressionally designed lawful authority. We have the right to do it as is necessary. And that's where the state saying, no, this is not how you're going to do it, playing in our sandbox, will say, well, our sandbox is the Supremacy Clause, and it protects our ability to safely conduct these activities.
Yeah, and that argument worked in California when they passed a law that said, hey, you know, you can't cover your faces if you're ICE agents operating in our jurisdiction. And even the courts there agreed, yeah, there's a Supremacy Clause. However, you know, there wasn't any sort of, you know, cooperation that had to take place with the state. But in this case, like, you need our State Department of Licensing to issue you those plates. So is it kind of a different situation with the Supremacy Clause that you're asking a state agency to provide you with something and they're just simply saying, we won't provide you with that?
Yeah, I would say if anything, it strengthens our argument in this case, right? You know, the state of California was trying to prohibit effectively agents from operating in ways that their faces were covered, especially in, you know, that's a real critical issue for folks that are undercover, right? And so here, when we have to get a mother VI from the state to have license plates to effectively do the work, you know, that's ultimately, I think it really is a real hard leg for us to stand on that really supports our claim. We're actually asking you to allow us to safely and effectively do our jobs. And, you know, yeah, could we go print fake license plates? Sure. But I mean, who wants to get in that business? It's silly. We should all be working together for the betterment of the people of Washington. And this is just another rift in that, you know, huge divide, right?
Yeah, and in a sane world, that's what would happen. Now, the Attorney General, Nick Brown, disagrees with some of the characterizations being made by the Department of Justice. We reached out to the Attorney General's office this morning. They said, hey, we need to review this complaint, so we can't offer you a comment yet on the complaint. But they did send us the letter that they had sent in response they got the letter on May 12th. They sent this letter in response on May 22nd. It is Attorney General Nick Brown to Assistant Attorney General Brett Shumate. He says, unfortunately, your letter makes unwarranted threats to take legal action against Washington State, and it appears that a factual clarification is necessary. They say the Washington State Department of Licensing voluntarily provides hundreds of undercover plates to federal agents each year. This includes providing license plates to the FBI, the Drug Enforcement Agency, DEA, the U.S. Marshals, and the Secret Service. The implication in your letter is that Washington is denying undercover plates to all federal agencies and thereby potentially hampering federal criminal investigations into terrorism. terrorism, fraud, and more. And he said that's simply wrong. So it's he said at this point. The DOJ says, no, you're hindering our ability to get these plates for multiple agencies. And the AG's office says, no, we're giving it to the FBI and some of these others. You notice, though, he doesn't list like Homeland Security Investigations, Department of Homeland Security. They carry out criminal investigations as well. He said, your letter is also wrong on the law. You suggest that Washington must issue undercover license plates to all federal agencies without exception. But under the 10th Amendment and fundamental principles of federalism, Washington may choose whether to provide state resources to assist with federal programs. So he basically says, we're not denying it wholesale as you claim, but also if we want to do that, we can absolutely do that. But then he adds this, and again, this gets into that political sort of taking your political opinions and applying them to how we fight crime is just never going to be good. He said, as you well know, judges across the country have ruled that DHS's tactics in conducting civil immigration enforcement efforts over the last 16 months have routinely violated the Constitution. Indeed, this conduct has resulted in the detention, injury, and death of many innocent people, including American citizens. Like many innocent people, he says the Supremacy Clause does not require Washington to affirmatively commit its resources to facilitate these lawless acts, which have provoked fear in our residents and undermined public trust in law enforcement. Look, you know, if the state of Washington wanted to come out and basically say for ICE agents conducting routine immigration enforcement, we're not giving them undercover plates, I disagree with it. But that's one thing. But when you're doing it across the board, like I've been out, I've spent time out with Homeland Security investigations. We've picked up people who have been, you know, convicted felons three times over in the state of Washington, been deported and keep coming back. Those include child sex predators, drug traffickers. And so whether, you know, if you're going to say we'll support the DEA, so they're saying in here, the state of Washington is saying, oh, we're giving the DEA undercover license plates. What does the DEA do? Drug investigations. But if HSI is trying to arrest someone who's a drug trafficker just because they have a nexus to immigration and the person they're going after is an illegal, you won't give them an undercover license plate? So I guess that means there's more protection for the illegal. If you're an illegal alien drug dealer, you have more protection than if you're a U.S. citizen drug dealer, I guess. It's so strange. None of it makes sense. And that's kind of the point here. So we'll be following these cases. Again, it's not just in the state of Washington. They are also suing Maine, Oregon, and Massachusetts for similar policies. All right. The Seattle Police Department finally releasing an image weeks later of the man they say beat an innocent individual over the head with a hammer in a random attack in downtown Seattle. We'd criticized SPD for not releasing the image sooner. We'll talk about what we've learned. First, our friend Zach Abraham at Bulwark Capital is the person to go to give you a second opinion on your retirement portfolio. There's a lot going on right now in AI, crypto, and tech, but I think the biggest issue to kind of be concerned about as it pertains to risk to your retirement portfolio is energy. So Zach and his team can talk to you about the impact energy is having on inflation, how it could potentially affect your retirement planning. Plus, they'll do a full reveal of how Bulwark is focused on risk management. They're always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, give your retirement as much upside as possible, which is what we all want, right? So you can subscribe to Zach's daily podcast, find him on YouTube, all the social media platforms, go to knowyourriskpodcast.com. While you're there, schedule your own personalized Know Your Risk portfolio review. I've done it. Zach is now my trusted money manager. And I couldn't be happier. All right. SPD finally sharing a picture of the man they say attacked George. So we had George's mom, Lisa, on the show. And this is kind of a graphic image, I'll warn you. But George was, you know, he's struggling with drug addiction and homelessness, kind of living on the streets of Seattle. But he was minding his own business overnight. This is a couple weeks ago now, when some guy came up from behind and for no reason pulled a hammer out of his backpack and beat George repeatedly over the head. Now, first things first, George survived. At least he's, you know, he's hanging in there. He's still in critical condition. But his mom, Lisa, gave us an update this morning. She says he still has a feeding tube, It's got lots of side effects from multiple traumatic brain injuries. Blood's going into his lungs. He has respiratory issues, memory issues, cognitive issues, lots of damage and associated pain. She said, I pray so much that justice is served and this maniac gets off the streets. She says, it's a miracle George is alive, but this violent psychopath tried to end his life. George has a long way to go in his recovery, but he's slowly improving. God is good all the time. I want justice for him. I want this guy to be off the streets. Now, when we had Lisa on the show, we were doing kind of a series of stories about the victims of random violent crime in Seattle. And Lisa had reached out to us. And one of her chief frustrations was the attack of her son was on camera. The whole thing was caught on camera, but the Seattle Police Department hadn't released any images. And she was frustrated because there were some key things she'd been told about the suspect that would make him sort of easily identifiable. Now, I said on the show, they're probably not releasing it because they either know who it is and are trying to find him and don't want him to flee, or what he's wearing is very distinctive and they don't want him to know that the pictures are out there and have him ditch these things. And I think that's probably the case, but they've now still haven't been able to find him. So now I think they're last resort or plan B is to go to the public with the images. So they put this out on the Seattle Police Department blotter this morning. Detectives seek public's assistance for information about a downtown assault. So they talk about what happened to George on May 4th. They say their suspect is a black male. I love how they say possibly a black male. Like, no, he's a black male. 5'6" to 5'9", medium build, facial hair, wearing a white bucket type hat. And I don't know. I look at that picture. I'm like, is that? Yeah, it is a white bucket hat. Sorry. I just the one. Black jacket, black pants, and red/pink shoes. And I think that hat, and if we go to these next images, the hat and the shoes are very, very distinctive. But the issue is, again, I kind of see maybe why this was their plan B and why they were hoping to just go around, check out some of the homeless encampments, maybe 3rd and Pine, 12th and Jackson, and see if they could spot that bucket hat or those pink shoes and just arrest him. But clearly they haven't been able to do that. And it's been almost a month. And so now they're putting these images out in the hopes that he hasn't ditched them. And look, if he's really a homeless drug addict or something living on the streets, I don't know that you can just throw away your shoes. I also don't know that he's watching the news very often. So everyone needs to be on the lookout for what's, you know, a very violent individual ahead of the World Cup. I'll also say, you know, we continue and we need to see if we can get, because these images, I don't know, these are probably not from police CCTV cameras, because I don't believe they have CCTV cameras in that specific area where the crime happened. But it just shows you the benefit of cameras for fighting crime. I mean, you have so many of these crimes that are caught on camera, and you have a mayor in Katie Wilson, who, as we discussed on the show yesterday, ahead of one of the most high-profile events that Seattle has ever hosted, a very likely target for terrorists, that she's like, no, we're going to turn off some of the cameras. Turning off the cameras at the stadium that they just installed, like the most likely place for terrorism to happen. Unless we hear about something, it's like, that's not how it works. She has no idea how it works. And then she's turning off one of the cameras in a very high crime area downtown because it's near a place where people go for gender-affirming medical care. It's like the camera's not, Seattle police aren't using that camera to try to spot people who are going to get top and bottom surgery. They're only going to use the video footage if there is a crime that they need to solve. It's just outrageous how you have, you know, very valuable crime fighting tools in a city with very few police officers, and they won't use them to the full benefit. It's just outrageous. So keep a lookout for that guy if you're in Seattle. And I would say run the other way and call 911, because Lord only knows what he's capable of. All right, coming up next, the extremist group No Hate in Washington State is hosting a few events. And I will say I'm very shocked to see some of the names on the guest list. We'll discuss. First, if you're looking to save some money, maybe gas prices have just got you down. I gassed up today, $108 to fill up my tank. It's never been that high. It's quite depressing. So thank you, Jay Inslee. Thank you, Bob Ferguson. And thank you, Donald Trump. I really appreciate that. But if you're looking to save some money, because that cost has just gone up, check out your insurance. It's just kind of the some people just set their insurance and they forget it and they just assume that they're getting the best rate, but how proactive is your insurance provider being? FirstMark Insurance is going to be proactive all the time. Twice a year, they're going to go out, they're going to say, hey, you know, what's going on with you? Do you need any updates? And I mean, for Mike and I, when our insurance, our personal insurance renewed, they emailed us and said, we can save you a couple $1,000. Same insurance, couple $1,000 in savings. It's like, oh my gosh, why was I not with FirstMark? All those years Dory was advertising for FirstMark and I never listened. How stupid. Could have been saving money this whole time. FirstMarkInsurance.com, FirstMarkInsurance.com. Take the FirstMark challenge today. The very best part is they work for you, not the insurance companies.
Not
they always have your best
stupid.
Interest in mind. No, I am stupid.
No,
I should have
I mean
listened to
audience.
Everything. No, not that. Well, you know what? No, yeah, yeah. If you haven't listened to me and taken the FirstMark challenge yet, you might have a screw loose. Look at Nicole trying to be nice to everyone. No, it's just like so simple and it's great and I just love them. All right, let's get to our segment, Unbelievable. All right, so the group No Hate in Washington State, I'm going to call them what they are. It's an extremist group. It is an extremist opinion to believe that girls should be forced to compete against boys, to believe that girls should be forced to share spaces with fully intact boys, you know, as young as when they're as young as 13 and 14 in the locker rooms. It is an extremist opinion to believe that public schools should be able to hide information from your about your child from you. Those are extremist opinions. So No Hate in Washington State is an extremist group. This is an organization that was set up to oppose two of the Let's Go Washington initiatives. One, which if passed in November, will prevent biological boys from competing in girls' sports. And the other one will once again restore the Parental Bill of Rights, which says, you know, you send your kid to school, the school can't keep secrets from you about what's going on with your kid. If your kid is like, you know, expressing suicidal ideation, if there's some sort of behavioral issue, or if your kid goes to school and they want to be referred to by a different gender and a different name, no, you don't get to keep that secret from parents and just assume that the parent can't handle that kind of information and is a horrible, awful human being. So this group is also the group, by the way, that had involvement in the lawfare attacks against me that are ongoing with the PDC. And it's also the group that protested me and a few others outside an event in Snohomish County holding a sign that said, "See you at Nuremberg, fascist effers." So this is the kind of group we're talking about here. They are holding a series of fundraisers to pad their pockets for the coming months in the fight against the two Let's Go Washington initiatives. So this was sent out for an event in Olympia. It's happening today, 5 to 7 p.m. at the bus stop in Olympia, in case anybody wants to stop by and check it out, right? Here's what just struck me. It says, "We invite you to an evening reception in support of No Hate in Washington State. The first name on the list of featured guests, Denny Heck, the Lieutenant Governor of the State of Washington." I saw that and my heart sank. I voted for Denny Heck. I told all of you I voted for Denny Heck as a Democrat. I have a lot of respect for Denny Heck. He has been on our side in the free press fight. Because of him, I didn't have any issues getting press passes to the state Senate this year, only the House. He has a long track record of bipartisanship. He's just about one of the only Democrats in Olympia who'll even listen to anything that Republicans have to say. So to see him affiliated with a hate group is shocking to me. All the other names on the list, not shocking to me. I'm not bothered by it at all. But Denny Heck, and I will say, I'm not going to disclose any personal conversations I might have, but I felt so strongly about it. I sent him an email this morning and just expressed my disappointment to him personally. And one of the things that bothers me is the name of the group. No Hate in Washington State, the name of the group he and others are affiliating themselves with. What is hateful about wanting fairness for girls? A lot of the people who are speaking up about protecting girls' sports are teenage girls who've lost opportunities, who've lost state titles. So you're saying that if that's no hate, that they're hateful? That it's hateful for them to take the position that they shouldn't have to compete against biological boys? This isn't a movement driven by hate. It's a movement driven by truth and simple biology. And we don't get to just discard simple biological realities because it might make a couple people feel bad, or for the sake of political expediency. And it's not hateful for parents, loving parents, to want to know what's happening with their kids at school. You know, and they choose this name that paints all of us as bigots. 80% of Americans agree with us on this issue. 80% of Americans, whether they're brave enough to say it publicly or not, agree that boys shouldn't compete against girls and men shouldn't compete against women at any level. So you're saying what, 80% of Americans are hateful? Parents who signed the initiative to protect parental rights and all the Democrats in Olympia who passed it initially before gutting it are hateful? That makes no sense at all. Incredibly disappointing that Denny Hegg is lending his credibility to a movement that has attacked me personally with Lawfare, says we should be tried for political disagreements like the Nazis were at Nuremberg and hung for our crimes. And him being there is a slap in the face to these young girls who deserve better. It's not an anti-trans movement. Have you ever heard me get on here and attack the trans kids who are participating with the girls? We might cover instances where they participate, but it's not about going against the trans kids. This is about criticizing the adults, many of them men, who have decided just to throw away fairness for girls for the sake of pleasing, you know, a far left fringe group of people who wants us to pretend that biology doesn't exist. So calling us hateful, no, you are the ones being hateful. And just dismissing what these girls are going through is outrageous. There's another event also happening. Again, another fundraiser for No Hate in Washington State. It is happening on the 30th. So what is that, Saturday? Saturday at the Clockout Lounge. Is that in Seattle? I think so. Clockout Lounge, yeah, in Seattle. They're going to have a bunch of drag queens. I don't mind drag queens. I just don't want them in schools. Mm-hmm. I just don't want sexual drag performances in front of kids. And I don't know, is this closed to kids? The co-hosts are going to be Councilmember Alexis Mercedes Rink, Seattle City Councilmember, Port Commissioner Toshiki Hasegawa, and some other people you've probably never heard of. Although Heather Wiener's on the list, and this is what I was trying to say, when that front organization called Washingtonians for Ethical Government filed a PDC complaint against me and Let's Go Washington, accusing me of providing $1.5 million in free political advertising for them. I said that this isn't Washingtonians for Ethical Government. This is that group, No Hate in Washington State. They're just couching it under the name of this other organization to make it sound legitimate. Heather Wiener is one of the principals of Powerhouse Strategic, the political messaging firm that is in charge of No Hate in Washington State, and also was in charge of the press conference for Washingtonians for Ethical Government, accusing us of violating campaign finance laws. And she's going to be at this event because she represents both of them, because she's at the center of all of this. So I think Jonathan Cho should head to one of these events and ask Heather Wiener and some folks some questions. Yes. I don't know if they'd let him in.
Is that they get mad at us just because we're gathering signatures. Right. And they're mad that somebody that's rich is using his money to gather signatures from people.
And they come out and they harass
Right. But then they come out and it's all about money. Give us money because we need to fight these people who are legally gathering signatures.
Right, so and you can have your little campaign. Devious. Can you go back to the very first one quick? Because I do think that brings up an important point. Paid for by No Hate in Washington State. The top five contributors. ACLU of Washington. The American Civil Liberties Union. They don't care about the civil liberties of girls and women. They don't care about the civil liberties of parents. They have just become a leftist front. And then the Washington Education Association, because the teachers union wants teachers to be able to keep secrets from you. God, if you are a teacher and you are still paying dues to the WEA, at this point, what's wrong with you? At this point, what is actually wrong with you? SEIU, the Gender Justice League, and Pro-Choice Washington, which what does Pro-Choice Washington have to do with anything? Probably because they want kids to be able to get abortions at school. In these little medical things that they're setting up, and they don't want parents to know about it. It's just outrageous. Oh, Lord help us. All right, let's get to a double dose of unbelievable. Dun,
Yes, little have song you been watching all there. This
alien stuff that Trump's releasing?
Yeah. Have I been watching the alien stuff? Of course I have.
Is it freaking you out yet?
No, I'm not freaked out because I welcome it.
Okay.
I've always known.
They look like drones to me. They all look like drones. I'm having a hard time. Give me some.
Sorry, I'm creating solid a note. Proof. I'm creating a note. Find a new producer. Just a little to do. No, I'm just kidding. Requirement of producers: you must believe in aliens.
Not that I don't. No, I'm just saying these ones that they're releasing are not convincing me.
Oh, there's some. I mean, but some of it's like, what else could that be? All right. Apparently, I don't have a critical thinker aboard here. No, I'm just kidding. All right. The Port of Bellingham considering a resolution to limit civil immigration action. So in blue jurisdictions, especially in sanctuary places, airports and ports are trying to basically make it impossible for federal immigration agents to do their jobs. Maybe not so much of a surprise. This is from Cascadia Daily News. The resolution comes after community activists raised concerns about DHS activities at the Bellingham International Airport. So the Port of Bellingham Board of Commissioners is weighing creating a resolution to limit certain kinds of civil immigration-related enforcement activities on the port property. So if adopted, federal agents would not be able to detain immigrants at locations like the Bellingham Shipping Terminal. Okay, put a pin in that for a second. Mm-hmm. Or the Bellingham International Airport. Agents would also need a judicial warrant that allowed agents would need a judicial warrant that allowed such a detainment. During the meeting, the public raised questions about why DHS flew out of Bellingham, if immigration enforcement operations happened out of the airport, and if the port had any control regulating DHS activity. Really interesting, at the Bellingham Shipping Terminal, you're saying that they shouldn't be able to detain immigrants. You know what kind of quote-unquote immigrants come in at shipping terminals? Victims of sex trafficking and human trafficking. So you're telling me if federal agents get a tip and they open up one of these containers and it's full of young women who've been trafficked from another country, that they can't, what, keep them there, detain the people who are trafficking them? Or have you lost your ever-loving minds? I mean, what do you think they're doing at the port? They're not there for, it's not as if ICE agents are like, let's go to the Port of Bellingham today and walk around and see if we spot any illegals. No, they're there because they have a reason to suspect there might be trafficking of human beings at the port. Absolute morons. Now, this has been happening, like Seattle, Tacoma International Airport and the Port of Seattle, they've been doing everything they can to try to thwart immigration efforts at their airports as well. So the Trump administration is trying to do something in response. They are considering a plan that would halt immigration and customs processing at sanctuary airports. So they're like, fine, you either take all of us or you don't get any of us. So we won't even let anyone fly internationally because we're not going to process them. And they have to be processed by customs. So we'll just say, nope, I guess it's not an international airport anymore. And which I think is a genius idea because they'll have to give. U.S. Homeland Security Secretary Mark Wayne Mullen said the Trump administration's drawing up plans to stop this processing and cargo, by the way, and cargo processing at major U.S. airports and sanctuary cities. Not every sanctuary city is like going this far as some of these are. So it'd only be ones that have declined to cooperate with immigration efforts in some way. The move could effectively halt international air travel and commerce at major airports in democratic states, with millions of foreign tourists expected to stream in for next month's start of the FIFA World Cup. I think that's when you do it. You just say, nope, they're going to have to cancel their tickets and go back home and they're not coming. Because the airports will have to give in immediately, right? I mean, there'll be lawsuits and stuff, but if the feds just say, there's a time frame now, it's like days away, so stop doing it now, and they'll have to give. So I think that's a smart move by the federal government. We'll see if it works. All right, solar panels for illegal aliens paid for by the state of California. Gets crazier by the day. First, if you're a small to mid-sized landlord in the state of Washington, consider becoming a member of RHA before the socialists try to take your private property away and redistribute it to the masses, because it's happening in New York City. Only a matter of time before it happens here. And RHA will probably lead the fight on any such policy if it were to come to pass. They can also help you on an individual basis with screening and forms and any questions you might have about constantly changing local, county, and state policies. They have events across the state all year long. I've been to a few of them. They're very fun if you're interested in housing policy, even if you're not a landlord. Great to go to. And then, as I said, they
are pursuing cases around private property rights and also advocating on your behalf in Olympia, both during the session and outside the session. RHAWA.org, RHAWA.org, Washington's trusted resource, empowering housing providers. All right, the City Journal and Christopher Rufo doing some fantastic work across the board investigating waste and fraud, and they've had a lot of that that's been focused on California. I think the last time we talked about this, they exposed like the tablets they were buying for prison inmates that prison inmates would just watch porn on. They were supposed to be for like educational purposes, unless the Kama Sutra is educational. I'm not really sure what you're studying up on there. So the latest scam, and this is incredibly relevant to Washington State as well, because we have the same cap and trade program where we sell carbon at auctions, credits at auction, and then it costs us a lot at the gas pump, and then you have all this money that goes into this bloated fund for environmental and climate projects. And just like Washington State, in California, they're spending that money on utter nonsense. They're driving up gas prices to spend your money on the stupidest stuff. So this is the latest from City Journal. Inside Gavin Newsom's solar scam, California advocates wanted to provide solar panels to 1 million low-income housing residents. After 10 years, the state is more than 900,000 short of that goal. The unrealistic climate goals. They always just say it because it sounds nice. And they get the money, but then they don't actually do the thing that they said they were going to do with the money. So it says, Governor Gavin Newsom has dismissed fossil fuels as alternative energy and wants to power California with, among other things, the sun. So doing this through all these mandates, the centerpiece of this initiative is the Solar on Multifamily Affordable Housing Program, SOMA. SOMA began under Governor Jerry Brown, who signed legislation requiring a state commission to apportion up to $100 million a year from California's cap and trade program to pay for the installation of solar panels on basically apartment buildings in poor areas. But since then, so California has spent nearly $900 million on this SOMA, Solar on Multifamily Affordable Housing Program. And they say they had all these like goals for it, right? That this would, by 2030, they'd get 300 megawatts of power. However, as Christopher Rufo writes, the results have been disastrous. Since 2015, the program has installed or reserved only 129 megawatts of solar power for 65,000 residents, nowhere close to the target of 1 million solar renters. So Christopher Rufo points out that there's a couple things that contributed to this just absolute failure. First is incompetence. He said, for a decade, businesses and utilities have been forced to buy emissions credits. And while the state has lavished nearly $900 million on SOMA, administrators designed the program so poorly that they have paid out only $131 million for solar installations. So they're just not able to carry out the program and certainly not carry out the goals. It goes on to say the failures of the program, however, don't mean that no one is profiting. So this is the kicker. Just because a program's a failure doesn't mean it's a failure for everyone. Because if a program doesn't do what it's intended to do, the money, it doesn't go anywhere. That money's going to someone. So it says the managers of the SOMA program have spent about $60 million on overhead, including salaries, conferences, website development. As part of the budget, they devoted $5.5 million to community-based organizations, most of which are left-wing nonprofits. In one case, they gave solar panels to low-income housing residents, and they pitched it to them as a way to fight racial injustice. Under the guise of marketing and outreach, SOMA paid more than $163,000 to the Asian Pacific Environmental Network, so they could fight against the systems of white supremacy, patriarchy, and capitalism of the extractive economy. Like, this is what Californians are paying higher gas prices for. And very similar to Washington State. I mean, the number of just insane, wasteful policies the Climate Commitment Act goes to fund, a lot of it like on the climate justice. Like, literally, someone explain to me what the hell climate justice is. It makes no sense in the world. Now, here's a little kicker to this. They're also giving these quote-unquote free solar panels to illegal aliens. Oh, come on in. We'll give you, what do they give them now? Boob jobs, bottom surgery, whatever you want, and solar panels. California is spending millions of dollars on a program that provides free solar panels, refrigerators, and windows to low-income farm workers, including illegal immigrants. This is when you know government has just gotten too big. The initiative called the Farm Worker Housing Component low-income weatherization program. It's part of their cap-and-trade system, and it says this is all about climate change. I mean, just the names of these programs, right? What was that first one? The SOMA. What did that stand for again? Hold on. I want to find that because it just... Oh, Solar on Multifamily Affordable Housing Program. And this one, Farm Worker Housing Component Low-Income Weatherization Program. They just make shit up to spend your money on stuff for friends. It's absolutely outrageous. All right, one more quick national story before we get to Florida Report. So you will recall a young woman named, well, young man, Becky Pepper Jackson. So Becky Pepper Jackson is at the center of a SCOTUS case involving trans athletes, and this could be the case that really upends the whole system. This is how the New York Times characterized Becky Pepper Jackson. A West Virginia law bars one trans athlete. Her case could affect the country. Again, Becky is a biological boy. So it starts by saying, this is an old article, but I just want to set up how they defined Becky's athletic ability. Becky Pepper Jackson was 11 years old and a mediocre runner when she sued the state of West Virginia over a law that barred transgender girls like her from joining girls' sports teams. So they said, this isn't even a case, basically, of a boy who's just in there absolutely crushing it. Like, Becky Pepper Jackson's a mediocre runner. That's interesting. That's quite an admission. Because Becky just won the state title and beat all the other girls by a lot, not even by a little bit. So that just proves the point. You said Becky was a mediocre runner. Well, I guess they didn't say mediocre shot putter, because that's what he won the state title in. Trans high school track athlete wins girls' state championship before key Supreme Court ruling. Becky Pepper Jackson, a 15-year-old sophomore at Bridgeport High School and the only known openly transgender sports competitor in West Virginia, bested the competition during Saturday's event. The sophomore won first place in the girls' class AAA state title with a personal best of 38 feet, 11 inches in the shot put. The second place winner was 2 feet shorter than that. Yeah, because Becky's a boy and Becky's stronger. And especially as Becky gets older, 11 maybe was mediocre, but now Becky's 15. And 15-year-old boys are stronger than 15-year-old girls, even stronger than 18-year-old girls, because Becky, as a sophomore, is competing against junior and senior females, and he's beating them, and it's not fair. All right, it is Thursday. That's when we check in on what's happening in the Sunshine State. It is our segment, Florida Report.
It's not even controversial anymore. People know in Florida their freedoms are going to be respected.
Miranda, hello.
Hello.
People are going to be very jazzed because you've been moving into your new house and you've got your gator skulls back up. What is that?
A skull and a head.
Interesting. Great. People will be jazzed, totally jazzed. All right. Not so jazzed is the state of Florida, because the Supreme Court decided to toss out their lawsuit against Washington and California. And this had to do with that deadly crash on the Florida Turnpike. And it was that illegal driver who had like CDLs from both these states. And they wanted to sue the states and tried for issuing licenses to these illegals. And the Supreme Court said, no, you can't sue them.
Yeah, they basically tossed it out without any real comment on why. I mean, this was basically an attack at other states having sanctuary policies that put other states that don't in danger through issuing driver's license or CDLs in this case, which clearly caused a big drama here in Florida.
Yeah, it is frustrating, though, because I feel like if you have a state that doesn't have the same regulations for commercial drivers, that other states should be able to say they can't drive here then.
Yeah.
It's very strange to me, but I suppose the highway system, you know, a lot of that is sort of federal, under the federal purview. But, And then Attorney General Nick Brown of our state, I mean, he said that this was just a political case from the beginning.
Yeah, he basically said that because our Attorney General James Utmeyer announced this lawsuit while he was on Fox News. So he said it, he basically thinks he just did it for show, but it's clearly not for show when there's been multiple incidences of drivers not understanding signs to the point where people lose their lives over it.
Yeah, Nick Brown called it a political stunt, not a real claim. But, you know, I would say a political stunt is, you know, saying that you're going to, as we discussed earlier on in our show today, prohibit federal agents from having undercover license plates because what? I mean, you hate Donald Trump, so Nick Brown is the king of political stunts, so he can just kick rocks. All right, but in good news for the state of Florida, a judge has allowed the new congressional districts in Florida to stand, which means the new ones will be in place for the midterms.
Yes, correct. And that's part of the reason why the lawsuit challenging them will move forward, but the judge is not issuing a block on that map right now. He basically said, like, it's too close to the midterms, it's too close to the general election, and it's more important to move forward with what, you know, the state's already moving forward in, because you have to qualify for the midterms within this next week.
Right.
Yeah, so it's too soon to just be pulling back discarded maps.
Yeah, and this is a great map for Republicans, certainly. And they had changed it, you know, because they said that these were racially districted, essentially, which the Supreme Court says you can't do. And so while other states have tried to redistrict just to kind of screw the other party, Florida said, no, this is because you tried to create districts based on race, and you can't do that. And so, yeah, the new map is much better for them.
Yes. So as long as everybody shows up to vote, that's still important. Everybody's got to show up in numbers to vote.
It's going to be interesting, though, because what if the lawsuit is successful moving forward and they're like, OK, well, what do we do with all these people who won based on a map that you're now saying is invalid? And there's other states dealing with this. It's all such a cluster. I don't even know what's going to happen. All right. I love this. We've been talking about this slow effort from Governor DeSantis to lower or eliminate property tax obligations for people whose primary residence is in the state of Florida. So what is he doing right now? Because they're getting close to putting this in front of voters, right?
Yeah. So he called a special session. It's going to start next Monday, run for just a couple days. He has a full proposal that would kind of incrementally eliminate property tax for majority of people in the state of Florida. Well, people who have their primary residence here. And it's kind of there's multiple parts of this. It includes, you know, protecting Florida residents by not allowing people who move here after January 1st of next year to qualify for these, higher homestead exemptions for 5 years. There's also kind of a step up to raise the homestead amount each year for people. And then that's also going to create a state trust fund that would basically allow the state to give grants to local, you know, governments in order to help them keep core functions going.
That the property tax might pay for. All right, here's Governor DeSantis talking about it.
I want to get something done. I want to make sure people can go and vote for something and then see something that's going to be very, very meaningful in their lives. So focusing on homestead, I think, is a way to show, look, we think that there's too much revenue going from taxpayers to these local governments. All the time, the taxpayers having to pay more and more for basically the same level of services that they would have gotten 10 years ago when their property tax bill was a lot less. And so the proposal that we are going to work with the legislature on to be on the ballot will begin with an initial raising of the homestead limit to $250,000 for all Florida homesteaders, with then the legislature commanded to enact a schedule that will lead to the full elimination of the homestead limit.
Yeah, and I think it is fair to have, you know, people who come into Florida like, no, you got to pay up a little bit and do this for 5 years, and then you can establish your homestead. I also don't think they should be allowed to vote for 5 years, but I'm not sure constitutionally. I just think if you're fleeing politics from a blue state to a red state, you just have, and really anywhere, and vice versa. Yeah. You should have to live there for 5 years at this point.
Yeah, honestly, that seems like a reasonable enough thing to put on a ballot and let the people of the state vote for if they want newcomers to be able to vote.
Yeah.
We could add it to our state constitution.
Yeah, I don't know how that would align with the U.S. Constitution, just like stripping people of their ability to vote for a period of time. Probably wouldn't stand up. But all right, Miranda, good stuff. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
It's not even controversial anymore.
People know in Florida their freedoms are going to be respected.
Speaking of animal noises, I bet you guys didn't even know Lucky's here today. She is being such a good girl. I feel like I can acknowledge her existence now that we're near the end of the show. You are being such a sweet little angel. It's because I have to go to Bellingham. I'm like, our travel is crazy. I have to go to Bellingham immediately after the show for an event up there. And Lucky's going to stay the night with me. And then we're going to Idaho. And you're flying over for one day flying back. It's going to be crazy. Anyway, we'll see you in a second, Nicole. We'll talk all about it. First, if you're thinking about, I don't know, leaving Idaho or just moving across the street, reach out to our friend Wes Jones at sellwithwes.com. And the real estate market's kind of strange right now. There's a lot of homes being listed, but maybe not as many buyers coming in to buy those homes, especially if they're higher price point. But that kind of like $500,000, $600,000 to $1.2 million might kind of be the sweet spot as well. So reach out to Wes for a free market analysis. I mean, we had a house in our neighborhood go up for sale, and I was kind of surprised by how quick it sold, actually, considering all the stuff on the market right now of people fleeing. Sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. He can give you kind of a lay of the land, what you can expect. And he might come in and say, hey, you know, your house looks great, but to get top dollar for it, we need to go through and do some cosmetic upgrades. He can walk you through that process. He can even manage those projects, so it's no stress for you. He's done that for some families that couldn't wait, moved, and then sold their house. So sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. It really just is a better way to sell your home. All right, let's get to our daily subscriber show poll. I was actually surprised by the results of this, I guess. I asked, are you considering moving or have you already moved to a different city or state for political reasons? I think the inclusion of different city really made this be very heavy toward yes. I didn't expect it to be as high as it is. So before I get to results, Nicole.
No, I mean, I would say that yes, because I've considered it. I obviously can't feasibly do that right now, given my work situation and my family and all that that's here. But is it something I've considered because I would like a different lifestyle?
Are you considering, like, actively considering, I guess I meant it to be.
But I mean, I can see why it's so high because, yes, I would like to, but I can't feasibly do that right now.
Yeah. So 70% of you said, yes, you have moved. You are considering it or you've already moved to a different city or state for political reasons. And I think one of the reasons, like, there's probably a lot of people who like leave Seattle, for instance, and they might go to somewhere where it's a little less tax heavy. So that would be for political reasons, right?
I think it used to be, and I think this is a distinction you're making, because people used to leave for weather reasons. You're going for sunshine, or you're moving towards family, or you're, you know, moving for a job or whatever it is. But you're saying for political reasons, because of taxes, because of policies. Leadership.
Right. Well, because even a move from Seattle to Bellevue for crime reasons would be a political decision, to move. So like I said, 71% of you are saying yes. Casey and Seebeck, I've lived here for almost 49 years. I'm staying to fight for our great state. Raymond says, I was born in Seattle and until recently have lived in Washington all 66 years of my life, but I've now moved to Arizona and I couldn't be happy. Bye-bye, Turd Ferguson and your tyrannical taxation terror. Mike says, I will certainly retire elsewhere. Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine retiring here if things stay the way they are. I mean, our careers demand that we be here, but let's see. KM said, we would love to move, but I don't want to leave because of my adult kids. E says, moving is the coward's way out. I can't call anyone a coward who wants to leave for...
You're only here a short financial time.
Life is short, man. If you're really unhappy, by all means. I would never call anyone a coward for wanting to do that, especially if it's like about your kids. You know, being messed with in school or the state trying to like trans your kids. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
Paul said, we have considered it, but my family has been here since Ulysses S. Grant was president. We are original homesteaders to Monroe. We will stay and fight for as long as we can. I love that. Wow. Let's see.
The only famous person with my birthday.
Oh, he's my favorite president.
I know.
I didn't know you shared a birthday. I guess I didn't know when his birthday was. Douglas says, I think about it more and more, but I'm just too rooted in this state. And the slice of heaven I've carved out for myself is priceless. However, I have deeply considered a tax revolt. Yeah, maybe we just don't leave, but we stop paying taxes. They can't come for all of us. And what are they going to do? Put us in prison? I should be careful what I wish for. What are you going to do? Put us in prison? Yeah, they probably will put us in prison. Just a couple on X. Harrelson Stan on X says, moved to Idaho last fall. Yeah, it is happening more and more often. All right, let's get to comments, shall we?
By the way, it is shocking how many people live in or around Coeur d'Alene that are from Washington.
I know. So we did an all call because we want to do a group interview while we're there, amongst other things we're doing, with people who have left. And oh my gosh, I'm sorry if I don't respond to you because we've gotten so many emails and comments.
Literally
that I just can't
hundreds.
Respond. I can't respond to them all. So we're just trying to pick through as many as we can. So don't take it personally. All right. On the feds filing another lawsuit against Washington, E says the feds need to do an investigation into our state for a multitude of things, including treason. Yeah, we'll see if they can make that stick. Crystal, Bonneville Power employees are being harassed for having federal plates. Yeah. These people are unhinged.
Unhinged.
I saw this video. And
dumb.
Right. I saw this video out of New Jersey. There's this like ongoing assault on the ICE facility there. Mm-hmm. And one of these people has a camera up, and they say to the ICE agent something to the effect of, "I've seen your face. You're dead. Your whole family's dead."
I hope that
they arrest him, because it's a threat, right?
Wow.
Rick Johnson, Nick Brown, and Bob Ferguson don't understand the concept of the United States. Follow the law, enforce the law, support the federal government instead of illegal aliens and other criminals. Yeah. Nancy Campbell is picking up Chuck's boop super chats. Chuck must be out this week. I must have missed that. Must be. Thank you, Nancy. That's very nice.
Love that tradition.
I know. I love that tradition. Chuck sponsors our boops. And Nancy is doing it for him this week. Yeah. So, Weisscastle, add Denny Heck to the list of government officials who should actually talk to these girls who's forced to compete against boys and girls sports. I will say, I have to put my foot down, and I will never vote for a politician who I know supports boys and girls sports. So I won't vote for him again unless he changes his position on it. There's just no way. It's a common sense issue. It's about truth versus fiction, and I just won't do it. Daddy Dennis, I'm guessing none of the people on the poster subscribe to Undivided. I don't know. I'll have to run their names. They might maybe have secret accounts so they can spy.
Tila Rose was on there.
Tila Rose is that like trans activist in Olympia who always comes to harass people
but
at
events.
But they're
promoting that like it's, I mean, that's a troublemaker.
Yeah. And I said they're an extremist group.
Yes. And harassing some of our events, like all that in that group of
Tila's
harassing.
Always been nice to me in person, but then like is not nice to me online. So no thanks.
Anyway, it's very strange.
Yes. Bellingham wanting to ban ICE essentially from airports. Tanya, ICE should be posted at every port and airport. I agree. Like, that's literally their job. Immigration. What are you talking about, you know?
I don't get it.
Wow, there's a lot of super chats today. Thanks, guys. Moon Goddess, I'm sorry they didn't know inmates would use the tablets for perverted things. Oh, she says, I'm sorry. They didn't know inmates would use it for perverted things. My ass. They knew that's exactly what they would use it for. They think we're stupid. Sean Miller. Sorry I've missed all week of live shows prepping for our huge church yard sale. Been able to catch up in the evenings. Missed all my homies. Thanks for keeping common sense flowing. Oh, that's fun. Church yard sale. I'm always down for a good yard sale.
Yeah.
So on our trip to Idaho, Matt says, go to Hayden Lake and find Jay Inslee. I still don't think it's been proven that Jay moved to Idaho.
Well, I know he has. But I thought it was proven that he had property.
No,
was
I don't
like
think
he's
it was
not moving there.
I think it's been always a rumor. I haven't seen any actual concrete anything.
We'll look into it.
Yes. Let's see. Papa Woody for Lucky. Oh, Lucky, you got a $2 super chat. I'll hand it on over. And Praiser Praise, thank you for some nice super chats. Old Sub Sailor, Moon Goddess, appreciate you guys a lot. So as a reminder, we will not have a Monday and Tuesday show. We're coming up on a couple little work things / mini vacations that we'll tell you about, but we've got content planned. So Monday and Tuesday I'll be in Idaho. We are going to tape a series looking at the reasons why some people are fleeing Washington State for Idaho, business reasons, social reasons, taxation, all these sorts of things. So that'll be a lot of fun. We look forward to seeing some old Washington residents who still watch the show, but watch it from Coeur d'Alene.
Wow, I haven't been there in so long. I'm excited.
Well, I was there last year because I'm also going for the Washington Trucking Association. I spoke at their event last year and I'm going to speak again this year. I'm going to see my brother. He's going to fly over from Minneapolis with his wife. And so it'll be a nice little fun thing. We're getting a lot of work done while we're there. But I'll do some dispatches for our subscribers. I'll do dispatches from a red state and keep everybody up to date on how things are going. All right, we'll get to our closing sanity check coming up next. First, summer is right around the corner. What a beautiful day today. I took Lucky for a walk at like 7 this morning. Oh my God, I shouldn't say the W word. At like 7 this morning, it was already so freaking hot out. It was beautiful. Yeah, but summer's right around the corner. If you're like me, we spend a lot of time in the backyard, on the deck, around the campfire, barbecues, things like that. And we want the outside of our house looking nice. Sue me, right? I just don't want anybody judging my house, kind of, you know, when it's dirty. So you can get Valentine Roofing on the schedule to come out, do exterior cleaning of your home, clean your roof, clean your gutters, or maybe you need a new roof. Maybe it is time. You know if it's time. Just go ahead and do it already. And I would do it sooner rather than later because what's happening in the Middle East is increasing the cost of supplies. So before that catches up to the roofing market, you might want to lock in your estimate. So if you call Valentine Roofing, 206 Roofing, you can get a free estimate and then lock that in. And you can get on their calendar for them to come out on their schedule within 3 weeks. So Have your house looking nice and ready for summer. 206 Roofing, 206 Roofing. Make sure to tell them you heard about them right here on Undivided. And with that, let's get to our closing sanity check. Sane Democrats do exist. I thought this was an appropriate sanity check based on my disappointment in some moderate Democrats aligning themselves with no hate in Washington state. There is a congressional candidate who's running in California's 11th congressional district, which is like San Francisco. Marie Hurabiel. Marie Hurabiel. And she's running against Scott Wiener, who's that uber far left, you know, boys are girls candidate running to replace Nancy Pelosi. Well, Marie actually seems pretty sane.
Hey, I'm Marie Hurabiel. I'm running for Congress. I don't believe that boys should be playing in girls' sports.
Whoa.
65% of Democrats agree with me, but are too afraid to say so. I am never afraid to speak up for what's right. I'm running for Congress as the only moderate in this race to bring common sense to Washington, D.C., and bring the Democratic Party back to the American people.
Gee, someone on the left brave enough to say what they truly believe about boys and girls sports. It's really not that hard. We just need a few Democrats to say it. It'll feel so good. Just get it out. Say it. You know it's true. And then the rest of the sane ones will follow, and you'll be so glad you're on the right side of history. All right, coming up on Sundays with Subscribers, we have a very a profound, thought-provoking interview with Josh McPherson. He is the head of the Gray City Church in Wenatchee, but he's going to be headlining, you've probably heard of it, this FreedomCon 26. It's a two-day gathering of Christian men at the Gorge, and they're trying to get Christians more politically involved. So Josh is joining me on Sundays with Subscribers. We talk about, you know, my godlessness a little bit and how my life might benefit from becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. And we also talk about why some Christians are so hesitant to get involved politically. So we'll have that interview coming up exclusive for subscribers. If you'd like to become a subscriber, go to UndividedPod.com, UndividedPod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show. So we'll see subscribers on Sunday. The rest of you will be back on Wednesday with a new live show, but I'll have some dispatches on Patreon Locals and X for subscribers from Idaho while we're gone. Right, Lucky? Yes. See you then. Yay. Okay, bye.